It's from Game of Thrones. What do you think?
I don't know. If we're going to start a fantasy sword collection, and I've long thought we should, is this really the sword to start with?
What did you have in mind?
Well, off the top of my head, I'd have to go with Excalibur. It gives you the right to rule England.
It would be a replica of a movie prop.
Fair enough. Give you the right to rule a replica of England.
Well, they don't have an Excalibur here, so what do you want to do?
Tough decision. There's no weaponry from Lord of the Rings forged in a Chinese sweatshop.
Just Bilbo Baggins' sword over there.
Two grown men with a hobbit's dagger. Wouldn't we look silly? Okay, let's go for it.
Oh, I see you guys have found my little treasure.
Yeah. It's okay, I guess.
It's okay, it's magnificent.
What do you want for it?
Well, it's hard to put a price on something that's a copy of something that was on pay cable. For my friends, let's say 250.
Oh, that's pretty steep.
Well, it's a limited edition. They only made 8,000 of these bad boys.
Only 8,000? We're wasting precious time. Buy it.
Hang on. Can you do any better?
Are you kidding? I'm already giving you the friends and family discount.
Oh, did you hear that? We're getting the friends and family discount. We are honored and we will take it.
Slow down. 200.
What are you doing? 250 is already the discounted price.
Will you shut up?
I'll tell you what, I'll go 235.
Nope, maybe another time.
Okay, 225, my final offer.
Take it, take it.
200.
Man, you're killing me.
I'm killing you. I can't breathe.
210, and I'm losing money.
Oh, no, we can't let him lose money, Leonard. I'm so sorry.
210, and you throw in the Iron Man helmet.
Are you crazy? That helmet's signed by Robert Downey Jr.
So?
Okay, if you're going to question the importance of an actor's signature on a plastic helmet from a movie based on a comic book, then all of our lives have no meaning.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state. Then nearly 14 billion years ago, expansion started.
Wait.
The Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids. Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery. It all started with a Big Bang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we are your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat
and Paul.
And we are here to talk all things Big Bang.
We are, because we love doing everything Big Bang. And it's always good, you know, the beginning of the week to get a bang.
It's always good to begin the week with a bang. Absolutely.
Exactly right. So we start off with our Big Bang Theory podcast. And I am very grateful to every single one of you that keeps coming every week to hear us prattle on about the Big Bang Theory. And what did we think of this episode? This episode is season five, episode number
five,
the Russian rocket reaction. What do we think about this?
I actually thought it was okay.
Yeah. Okay, this is really hard to explain. I liked it. However, I don't like the beginning of Bernadette. Now, we all love Bernadette.
Yeah.
She's a great girl, but this is the beginning of her bitchiness. Let's do it all my way, and it's all about me, and bugger anybody else. And I don't know why the writers decided to write it this way, unless it's the fact that, you know, Howard needed a strong woman, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that in this regard, with this episode, there's no give and take. It's all giving by Howard and taking by Bernadette.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So this was the beginning of the, I like Bernadette, but I don't like the way that she's going to start.
Yeah, it's the beginning of bitchy Bernadette.
It is. And it's unfortunate that she persists on that line. And it's not her fault. It's not Melissa's fault. She has to, you know, say the lines that the writers write. But I don't know why the writers decided to write Bernadette in the way that they have. So,
yeah, I don't know.
I'm very perplexed about that. I really wish that you know, we could find out why they chose to write Bernadette the way she has become. So, but anyway, the movie. Oh my goodness, we're going to start off with this episode, and we are in the comic book store, and the guys, Leonard and Sheldon, are looking at the Games of Thrones sword. And I love it as Sheldon's, you know, they're like, what do you think? And he's like, and Sheldon's like, well, I've always believed that we should start a fantasy, you know, sword collection, but is really this one the one that we should really start off with? And so they do decide to haggle Stuart, because Stuart comes over and says that he wants $250 for it. And he's, and of course, you know, I was speaking to Kat, actually Kat and I were talking about a incident that happened at a comic book store that we were actually in a collectible store, and we had seen something and I'd seen something, and I have got probably the world's worst poker face in the world.
Yeah, especially when it's something you want.
Yeah, and so unfortunately I really had to be hustled out of the store, because I was literally going to just blow it up in our face, unfortunately. So, you know, there is the boys haggling backwards and forwards, and Leonard's like, oh, 250, can you do any better? And he's, and well, Stuart's like, well, you know, I'm giving you the, you know, the friends and family discount, so maybe, I don't know, we can go, you know, maybe 230. And they're like, and of course Leonard's like, yeah, I don't know about that. And of course, you know, poor old Sheldon's like, oh, well, you know, that's, he's giving us the friends and family discount, you know, we should get it. And of course, you know, Leonard's like, anyway, a lot of haggling backwards and forwards, and it ends up being that they haggling down from $250 down to 210, which is a pretty good savings when you look at it.
And he's like, come on, you're killing me here. I'm not, you know, I'm not making any money. But they finally agree on it. He's like, great, now I can maybe eat meat this week.
And as we're going along, we're seeing that Will Wheaton comes in to pick up a comic book that he'd actually ordered, a very rare Batman comic. And he, of course, he invites Stuart to a party that he's throwing. And look at that, Stuart goes, will there be girls, you know, there this time? And he's like, and
of course, well, of course. Like, and he's like, well, there wasn't last time.
And he goes, there will be girls. And Will looks over at Sheldon, because Sheldon picks up the sword and says, hello, Will Wheaton. And he's like, hey, Sheldon. Yeah, nice sword. And he goes, would you guys, you know, you guys are welcome to come to the party.
Well, no, first Sheldon's like, well, it's part of our fantasy sword collection. Do you have a fantasy sword collection?
And that's when he goes, no. And he goes, huh?
I didn't think so.
And he invites both Leonard and Sheldon to come to the party on the weekend. And I love it how, you know, Stuart's like, oh, great, you're being invited. That's another Will Wheaton sausage fest going on.
Now, before we leave the comic book store,
yeah,
I've got a couple of things to talk about.
Okay.
So Stuart refers to the sword as a replica of the one seen on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
However, the actual sword from the show that it was supposed to be has an entirely different cross guard, which is simpler and more curved, a simpler grip, and a much longer wolf head pommel. The one shown was made from the book's description. The makers also sell a version of Eddard Stark's sword, entirely unlike the one seen in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Now, that being said,
yeah,
the one that they used, the sword that is featured, is an actual sword that was used in the filming of Game of Thrones. It was valued at $10,000, and Johnny Galecki was reluctant to wield it.
So that's why Sheldon picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jim picked it up.
He's like, I'm not touching it.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable.
But yeah, that's why Sheldon picked it up instead of Leonard.
I think it's a good idea.
But probably. But the best piece of trivia from this section of the show is that if you look closely at the counter in the comic book shop, there is a QR code on the side of the counter.
Yeah.
If you scan it, it will take you to the website of the Comic Center of Pasadena.
No way.
Yep. Yep.
You know what we've got to do?
I know. We're going to have to watch that episode.
We are going to have to watch that episode again and scan it.
Yeah.
All right. So everyone, do us a favor. When you're watching the show, pause it and everyone scan it.
Everybody scan it and go say that you found out about it from the PMS podcast.
Yes. Do it that way.
Now, the Longclaw sword from Game of Thrones can be seen in the rest of the series. It's seen throughout the rest of the show, first hanging on the apartment wall and later next to the front door with a commemorative plaque that reads, Winter is Coming.
Nice. Yeah, I've noticed that it's always there.
Yeah. Well, in fact, when Sheldon moves out, they talk about splitting up all of their stuff.
Yeah.
And the ownership of the sword comes into question because it was the first thing they bought together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is interesting considering how other long they lived time, together.
Other than the time machine, they all went.
Has that happened yet? Oh, yeah, that has happened.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. So the time machine was. Yeah,
but it was the first like thing for the apartment that Leonard that they and bought. Sheldon bought together.
Yeah.
Which is odd considering how many years they've lived together. You think they would have bought something together before that.
I know. And I like the fact that, you know, when Sheldon's talking about this invitation by Will to both him and Leonard, you know, he does say, oh, you know, you're going to just not go to the party. And of course he goes, well, no. And he goes, oh, that's right. You're going to go to the party. Say it's an absolute fiasco and walk out. And he goes, no, I'm actually thinking of going. And leaving him
embarrassed.
Yeah, leaving him embarrassed. He's like, no, I'm actually thinking of going. And this is where this argument starts to happen at dinner, where Sheldon compares his friendship with Leonard to Schrodinger's cat. And I like it how, you know, Penny's sitting there because they're all having pizza and they're all sitting there and Penny's like, yes, okay. So it's basically you're comparing the relationship to Leonard as Schrodinger's cat. So you don't know whether it's alive or dead. And unless you open the box, you'll find out. But she says, you know, we had a smell going on.
We had a cat that climbed up into my brother's car and we didn't have to have it. We didn't have to open it to know that there's all kinds of dead in there.
So as they're talking backwards and forwards, Howard joins them with some awesome news. This is amazing news.
It really is.
So apparently NASA has included Howard's design, which is a deep field telescope headed for the International Space Station. And they're like, oh, that is awesome. And he's like, no. It actually gets better because they need someone to go up there and install it, like as in a payload specialist, which means that technically he is actually an astronaut.
Now, he's like, at first he's like, and guess who they chose? And Sheldon comes out with
Muhammad Lee.
And they're like, where do you get that? And he says, now it's funny because Sheldon says, well, they're the most common first and last names on the planet. However, as it's Howard's story, it's his device that he's been working on. Yeah. He's the only expert candidate, and it's basic logic to guess that it would be Howard. So you would think Sheldon's elevated level of intelligence should give him a firm grasp of basic logic. But that being said, I've known several geniuses in my life, and they are the most useless people when it comes to common sense.
And as Sheldon does say, I thought that would give me an edge in the conversation if I was to guess Muhammad Lee.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's me. Technically, I'm an astronaut. And Bernadette says, well, hang on a minute. Well, how are you going to get up there? Because NASA has scrapped the space program. And he goes, no, that's okay. What they do is I fly over to Russia. They get me into a Soyuz capsule and they blast me up.
They take me to Kazakhstan, put me in a Soyuz rocket and aim me at the
blast me up to go up to the International Space Station, or the rocket will just sit there because the Russian mafia have sold the fuel on the black market.
Yep.
So, you know, you think to yourself, okay, this is an absolutely wonderful experience that he's about to have. But he has to get through Bernadette first. And I don't like this part of the show. I really don't.
Okay. Now, I would also like to point out that it has been previously established on multiple occasions that Howard has transient idiopathic arrhythmia.
Yes, he does.
And if that's the case, it is highly unlikely that he would be cleared for space flight by any doctors.
Yeah, including the fact that he would have to go through a physical at NASA. Yeah,
he wouldn't pass the physical because of his arrhythmia.
Yeah, but we're going to overlook that for this episode, because on the way home in the car, they're talking, you know, they're just, Bernadette is not very happy about this situation.
Now, Bernadette has a point. This is a life-altering thing. And as his fiance, it would have been nice for him to have included her and discussed it with her before he told them yes.
Right. So
he's not completely wrong.
Okay. So the conversation was, as you've just pointed out, they're in the car. She says it would have been nice for you to discuss it. So he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I should have done that. Okay. And he starts the conversation again and he says, Bernadette, I have been given an opportunity, a once in a lifetime opportunity, to go into space, to the International Space Station, as a paid low specialist. And because it affects both of us, I would like to get your discussion of what you think. And she goes, thank you. And she starts to have the conversation. And then she says to him, no. And he goes, no. What? And she mentions the fact that her father was a police officer, and every time that he would leave the house, the family didn't know whether he was going to be coming home. And Howard does mention his own father about the fact that he never came back after he was 11. And well, Bernadette, she snipes this, and I am really upset with her doing this. She snipes back at him, oh, boo-hoo, you're not going to space.
Yeah.
My answer would be, because she was driving the car, pull the car over. I'm getting out of this car. How dare you speak to me in that tone of voice and tell me, boo-hoo, I'm not going to space. Do you know how many people in the planet get to go into space?
Okay. Now, that being said, throughout the series, Howard often uses his absent father to gain sympathy from others. It's very possible that he's done it enough to Bernadette that she's already grown immune to it.
Yeah.
It's still no excuse for her to speak to him like that.
No.
But I can understand her, you know, enough already and on that
And as far as not speaking to Bernadette about it, you know, this is something that Howard has dreamed about. And even, you know, Leonard and Sheldon have said this is a dream of everybody's to go to space, you know. And so when he got that opportunity that he could go up into space, you know, at a moment's notice, you'd sit there and go, oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. You wouldn't think to yourself, shit, I've got to go and speak to someone first. And the thing is that I don't want, you know, Howard to think that he has to go and get permission. And this is what he's got to go through now, is he's essentially got to go get permission from Bernadette to live his life.
Mm.
You know, this is something that he'd been dreaming of before Bernadette came into the picture. So for him to be given a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be an astronaut, to go into space, that is just inexcusable, the way that she, you know, goes to him and says, the old boo-hoo, you're not going to space. No, I'm sorry. you may think that, but we are definitely only, and, you know, it's very easy. Howard could be very well have said to her, okay, fine, we're not going to do that. That's okay. Pull the car over. Oh, by the way, you and I are through. So keep driving, enjoy your life, because you're not going to stop me from living my life. We only get one shot at life.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to go to your deathbed.
But that being said, you know how easy it is to cave into what someone else wants to give up your dreams.
Oh, absolutely. And I regret it every single day.
Yeah, because Paul once had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas and play in a pool tournament.
Nine ball.
Yeah, well. And didn't, because his partner at the time wouldn't pay for her to go with him. So he ended up not going, which is, I'm sad that he didn't. I wish that he would have that opportunity again.
Yeah. So back at the apartment, Amy is sitting there wondering how Will Wheaton got on, you know, Sheldon's list of mortal enemies. And of course everyone's like, no, don't ask. And we find out that in a very condensed version, a convention, 600-mile trip, Will Wheaton would rather be the left lower corner on Hollywood Squares. That's basically what it comes down to. But he has got a rather in huge list that's actually on a floppy drive that unfortunately crashes. So thank goodness he can't actually show Amy all the lists of people.
Okay, so going into talking about the list, so the whole thing comes up and Amy calls Sheldon a left-handed monkey wrench.
Yes, he is.
Which I thought was a great line.
That's a great line, yeah.
Now, now the fact that, okay, Paul is not big for using hand tools.
I am not at all. Anybody in Australia listening to this, I don't understand Bunnings. I don't get Bunnings. But
Bunnings is basically the Australian Home Depot.
Yeah, so I don't get those things. I know that Kat gets excited going in there. I just go there because as you get to the front door, you can actually get like a hot dog as you walk in.
A sausage
on bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go for that. Snags. Yeah, we call them snags, but I usually get that. I don't understand that store though.
So anyway, Amy calls Sheldon the left-handed monkey wrench. Now, many tools are built to be specifically right or left-handed.
That I didn't know.
Yes. It's like scissors. Scissors are either right-handed or left-handed.
They are?
Yeah, they are.
Since when?
But when you come in here when we're done, I'll show you my scissors and you can try putting them in your left hand and see how it doesn't work.
Okay.
So some classes, some objects are classed right-handed, left-handed. So then a left-handed version would be oddball. But a left-handed monkey wrench is a tool user's joke. Monkey wrenches are symmetrical. They can be used by either hand. Each one is, they're ambidextrous, basically. So sending a newcomer out to get a left-handed monkey wrench was a way of making fun of the newbie for not knowing that wrenches are symmetrical and can be used by either hand.
You know, people, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is, Jenny.
Now, Penny was recently taken off of Sheldon's Mortal Enemies list.
Yeah.
She may have gotten on it due to the events of the panty pinata polarization. You remember when?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
That's when he probably hung all of her underwear out on the, yeah.
That's probably how she got on the list to begin with.
So earning 3 strikes on Sheldon's offense list, refusing to comply with his penalties, the ensuing battle, and Penny finally calling his mother to end it, Sheldon may have taken her off due to Penny getting his stolen World of Warcraft items back in the Czarnecki incursion.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that was probably my idea of what I was thinking that he probably did it, is that,
yeah,
getting all that stuff back would have got her off the list pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I do like that. Now.
Now, Sheldon did make also a comment at this point of Will Wheaton being the only kid from Stand By Me that no one remembers.
Yes. Yeah, now, I didn't remember him.
Now, you don't remember Will Wheaton?
I've seen Stand By Me, but I cannot remember. I know he's in it, but I can't. He's so forgettable.
Well, another person who was in that played Vern by Jerry O'Connell.
Yes, I remember him.
He actually guest stars alongside Wheaton in Stand By Me and appears as Sheldon's older brother, Georgie, in the season 11 final finale. Yes,
he does. Wow, yes, okay. Now, back at Howard's house, Bernadette is sitting and apologizing for her behavior earlier. And now they're laying in bed, mind you. Okay, they're in bed.
No, he's sitting on the bed playing the rock.
No, he's not. No. This is not.
You're right. No. I'm jumping it.
So they're laying in bed and Howard and Bernadette are laying there. And Bernadette goes to say something. Howard goes, "Have you changed your mind on sex? I'm still mad, but I'll do it anyway." And she starts to apologize for her behavior earlier and told Howard that she didn't want to be the one to get in the way of his dreams. And you think to yourself, oh my God, that is awesome. That's, yeah, Bernadette has finally figured it out that, you know, we only get one shot at life. We only get one shot at our dreams. So that's wonderful. Thank you for not standing in my way. Now, this is what I get.
This is such a low thing.
This is the lowest blow that you could do. And this is why I've actually got 2 questions this week because of this one. So she gets up out of bed and of course,
I have to go brush my teeth.
Howard says, you know, then after you brush your teeth, sex. And she goes, yeah, okay, I'll just go brush my teeth. So she gets out of bed. She goes out of the room. And Howard is getting everything all ready, you know, getting all the
music going. He's put on music.
He's got the lightsabers going. And
then you hear, my dead body. Is he going to space?
And Bernadette comes back and says, I'm ready. Bernadette went behind Howard's back
and told his mother.
I'm sorry. You know, if you have not already tried to stand in my way of my dreams, you have absolutely flattened our relationship into a pancake. If you are going behind my back to tell my mother about what's going on,
to keep me from doing what I want to do.
That is the lowest act that Bernadette can do. And that's what I get pissed off about this episode, is the fact that I don't like what she did. And we find out the next day, because the guys are sitting at Caltech having lunch, that Howard actually kicked Bernadette out of bed for basically ratting on him, which was his mother. And I like how Raj basically congratulates him for being...
He's like, what, you actually... Okay, so you're the first one to go to space and you're the first one to actually kick a woman out of bed. You're a rock star.
And of course, Howard's like, A little bit. But Sheldon and Raj and Leonard all agree that Bernadette has absolutely betrayed, you know, Howard to his mother.
Yeah.
And I look at her shield and goes, interesting. You can see the betrayal of others, but you can't see the betrayal for yourself. And all this argument is the fact that Leonard is going to go to Will's party and Sheldon is refusing to go because obviously Will is his mortal enemy. And so, you know, Sheldon is really, he wants Leonard to not go there, to still be in Camp Sheldon.
Yeah.
When you look at it. So it really is a very, very low act that what Bernadette does.
Yeah, it is.
And so we do find out that, you know, this whole thing is basically going to come to a head because we see in Penny's apartment, the girls are sitting around, they're having a bit of bit of wine and everything. And I look at how Bernadette basically tells Penny and Amy about the other night that she had no choice to go to his mother to tell her about the fact that he's going to go to space. And she's like, you know, he's like a baby bird. He can't go to space. And I like how Benny says, okay, before we get any further on this, are you sure that Howard is the one that you really want to marry? And
my heart.
Yeah. And she's like, yes, with all my heart. And she goes, okay, just wanted to check because, because we really see that Bernadette asked both of them, is she the bad guy? And it's like, yeah, you kind of are, Bernadette.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because she's like, you know, he gets an asthma attack when he reads a book.
Yeah.
And Penny's like, I was there.
Raj handed him that book and he got an asthma attack.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do find out that Bernadette realizes that she is the bad guy in this whole thing.
Yeah.
And she says, oh my God, you're right. I took our love and threw it under his bus-sized mother. because Penny thinks Bernadette needs to fix the problem, but she wants to make certain that obviously that she does really love Howard. And we do come back that she says, yes, with all my heart and all his faults and everything. So that's where we come to Bernadette goes to back to Howard's house.
And Howard's sitting on his bed playing with a model rocket.
Yeah. And he is still angry. And yes, he should be. Absolutely. Yes, he should be.
But first I want to talk about the rocket.
Yes, go ahead.
It's a 1/200th scale of the Saturn V, the launch vehicle that sent astronauts to the moon in the 60s and 70s and put Skylab, the first space station, into orbit. For space enthusiasts, because we know you're out there, Saturn V was NASA's most heroic and adventurous launch vehicle.
Beautiful. Was that the one that took Apollo 13 up there as well? Similar, wasn't it?
Might be.
Very similar to Apollo 13's rocket that went out there that crapped out, unfortunately. But we see that, you know, Howard's sitting on the bed and Bernadette comes in and they start to talk about it. And she basically apologizes and she says that she's just worried about him. And basically Howard then tells her to stop, you know, and says, you know, because if you think that just going to space is all I want to do, you're mistaken. He says, because he also mentions that he wants to go to the moon or to go to Mars or even the deepest depths of the ocean. And I like this is the fact that Howard is not just confined to this is all I want to do. Right. I've got plans for my life. I've got plans, you know, for everything I want to do in life. And I'm the same. I don't want to go to my deathbed knowing that, you know, I missed out on stuff that I could have actually enjoyed. Right now, I have to say this because this is happening right now. Poor old Kat has got Oliver, our dog, in her room. When we're talking, because I'm in my room, she's in her room.
He doesn't settle unless he's in here with me.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Oliver has had a bit of gas, and Kat is absolutely having a hard time with this. Our dog is literally gassing my wife to death.
He is. It's terrible. I tell you, if we just pointed his butt at Russia, they would stop the war.
In the Ukraine.
Crane.
Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, it's that toxic.
So we do see that, you know, Bernadette does say that, you know, she just cares for him so deeply and she calls him her soulmate and she could never imagine losing him. And so they start to make up and out of where you can't see, but from the outside of the door, you hear Howard's mother say, make up all you want. Your Tukas is not leaving the earth. So really, Bernadette has opened up a can of worms that this is a very, very hard thing to get over, because he's now got to not only convince, he's managed to convince Bernadette, but now he has to try and convince his mother. That's going to be a gargantuan idea. And as you've said before, Jewish mothers and sons are, you know, it's a very special relationship they have. And I guess trying to get over to convince your mother that you're not going to die in space is going to be a pretty big ask. So unfortunately, this is going to happen. So we see that Leonard and Raj are heading out to the party. And of course, Sheldon was told, because Sheldon's like, you should really stay here. And they're like, no, we're going to go. And, you love Star Trek. And he's like, yeah, but, I think that's getting all a little bit, even the live long and prosper. You look like a dork saying that. And so Raj and Leonard leave the apartment, and then the door reopens again. And Sheldon's like, oh, wonderful, you picked me. And he goes, no. And he goes, I just want to let you know that I just got a text message from Stuart. Will, that Brent Spiner, Mr. Data himself, is also going to be at the party. You love Mr. Data. And Sheldon's like, I don't really know. No, he doesn't really do it for me. The whole thing's very pedestrian. And so they really think that this is going to happen, that he's not going to show up. But we do see that Sheldon actually does show up at the party, because as he says, I'm fighting for our friendship, as in Leonard and his friendship. Yeah. And Will does say, it's wonderful that you came, Sheldon. And
he says, I wish you had a worse house, because this is quite lovely.
Yeah. And we find that Will says to Sheldon, I've got a bit of a surprise for you. And he gives him a signed mint inbox.
He says, I remember your story when we first met about you going all Trek. That way. And I wasn't there. And I've always felt bad about that.
Yeah.
So I came across one of these. So I signed it for you, and I hope you'll accept it.
Yeah. And it says, to my personal friend from Will Wheaton. And Sheldon is absolutely over the moon until.
I still can't believe this.
I don't think he would do this. Brent Spiner seems to be an awesome guy.
Yeah.
But in this episode,
he's a dick.
Brent Spiner comes over, grabs the collectible out of Sheldon's hand, and breaks it open. It is no longer mint in box.
And those of us who are collectors of any kind, it's like you just scream in agony at this point.
I saw that and I'm like, oh no, don't do that. And I like it how Brent Spiner says to Will, hey, do you remember when we used to get these things to look like they're masturbating? And
they probably did.
They probably did. It wouldn't be unsurprising. And we find out that unfortunately, because Brent Spiner has opened up this mint collection,
he is now
on Sheldon's mortal enemy list.
And Will turns to Brent Spiner and says, oh, don't worry, it doesn't take up a lot of your time.
And I like it how Brent actually says to Sheldon, look, I've got some Mr. Data dolls in the car, in the trunk of my car. I could sign one for you. And he goes, no, and he walks away. But we find out that Leonard actually goes over with Raj and asks if Brent Spiner could actually autograph a couple of figures for them. And he goes, yeah, sure, $30. And he goes, and of course, they start to haggle down, and they ended up, actually say that was it $20 each, that's right.
Yeah.
And they ended up by haggling down and get two for 30. And
you come to my birthday party. Done.
The episode goes black, and that is the end of this episode.
Okay, now before we completely end, though, there's a couple of pieces of trivia about that party that I thought was fun.
Yes.
The poster on the wall in Will Wheaton's house is a signed copy of Stand By Me.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
So there's a painting of Will,
I know the painting of
Wesley
him.
Crusher.
Yep.
I saw but then that. And there's then another I saw the one poster that's a signed copy of Stan.
And there was a whole lot of signatures.
That's
over
actually really common. They do that in live theater a lot, that at the wrap party, they give a gift to the director that like all the actors and stuff have signed.
Fantastic.
Of the poster, they frame it. They all sign it and they frame it and they give it to the director. It's a theater tradition. So it wouldn't surprise me that everybody and oftentimes people will cast and crew will get a copy of the poster and have everybody sign it for them and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me that a movie would do that.
Yeah, I'm a big, big, big horror fan. I've got my own horror podcast, as everyone knows, but I am really wanting to get a signed either pop or photograph or whatever of Linda Blair from The Exorcist. Yeah, that would be amazing. I'd love to get
she
that.
Does sell them, and it raises money for an animal charity.
Yeah, her foundation.
Yeah.
To protect animals. So.
Now this last piece of trivia I thought honestly was wicked cool.
Okay.
At Will Wheaton's party, two of the background guests that are seen talking to Stewart when Sheldon enters are writers for Star Trek.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, I didn't know that one.
So David D.C. Fontana was a writer for Star Trek, the original series, Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And David Gerald was a writer for Star Trek, the original series, TAS. Which one was TAS? And Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
And they're the two people that are seen talking to Stewart when Sheldon enters.
That's cool.
I thought that was cool.
I like that.
Yeah. So for those following along, we had pizza delivery and Caltech.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't a heavy one this week.
And I thought it was interesting. This is the second episode in a row that we've had pizza.
Oh, yeah, we have. Yeah. And if you notice, because obviously Leonard is lactose intolerant, he always has salad.
Yeah.
He always has a plate of salad.
Yep. Although you can't get pizza without cheese. I did it for years.
Yeah. But a lot of people,
they screw it up a lot. But
yeah. But and look, Sheldon is nice enough to ask for pizza without cheese because he knows that Leonard is lactose intolerant. But in this regard, the last 2 weeks, no, he's been eating salad while everyone's been eating pizza. Now,
okay.
Do we have any fun facts or crazy credits? Before we do, we've got to have questions this week. Okay. So I've got two questions. The first question that everyone can answer, everyone can answer both these. Okay. So the first one is, are you adventurous? And I'm only saying that because Howard wants to not only go to space, but he wants to go to the moon and Mars and maybe go into the depth of the ocean. So are you actually adventurous?
Oh, yeah, that was actually one of my favorite lines. He's like, and go in his little submarine to the bottom of the ocean. And she's like, really? You got seasick on the Pirates of the Caribbean?
So that is question number one. Now, the second one is going to be a poll. Now, the poll is only going to go from the day that we drop this episode to the following week. So it's only going to run for 7 days. So if you're listening to this in the future, you can still answer the Are You Adventurous? But the poll is definitely closed.
Okay.
Now, the poll for this week is going to be a yes or no. Did Bernadette overstep the boundaries by going to Howard's mother?
Mm.
Yes or no. Now, as I said, at the moment that this episode drops, the polls will be open.
So we'll have the results for you next week.
Yeah. So it'll be for 1 week, for 7 days, yes or no. And I'd love to see that if everyone could really engage in this question, because I am firmly in the belief that she absolutely overstepped the boundaries of what she did to Bernadette, to Howard, going to his mother. So that is this week's question. Are you adventurous? And the poll is going to be, did Bernadette overstep the boundaries by going to Howard's mother? If you don't want to answer the poll, if you can't answer it on that one, then basically, you know, you can answer me at perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com.
Okay. Now, our crazy credits. Chuck Lorre Productions, number 359. Okay, I'm just going to say it out loud. There are times when going crazy looks attractive. And I'm not talking about becoming charmingly eccentric. I've already got that covered 9 ways to Sunday. No, I'm talking about purposely immigrating to the land of lunacy, that special psychological zip code where the ancient laws of behavior self no longer apply. My reasoning is simple. It takes a great deal of effort to sustain a conservative, trustworthy persona. Surrendering that effort would involve, from a Freudian perspective, a conscious dismantling of the superego, that part of the psyche entrusted with enforcing parental and socially approved actions. And therein lies the allure of going full frontal wackadoodle. The constant energy required to pass as normal would suddenly become available for doing and saying whatever pleases me in the moment. Imagine it, the id and libido completely unbound by any and all moral or cultural restrictions. Probably won't need the shrink anymore. Might need a lawyer.
Chuck Lorre's got such a great mind. He really does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked this episode. It was just very infuriating when it came to Bernadette doing what she did, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that she was, has been, is written like that and is starting to go down that area.
Yeah. So anyway, we want to thank everybody for tuning in again. If you know anybody who would like to join the conversation, you know where to find us.
Yes, perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com.
And on the favorite places where you listen to podcasts. So if you haven't done already, please leave us a like and a review, because we always love to hear that you're enjoying the show. We will catch up with you next time when we do the season 5, episode 6, The Rhinitis Revelation.
Nice.
And in the meantime, we'll catch up at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
You're really quiet. Is everything okay?
Fine. Just a little tired.
I hope not too tired, because I'm feeling particularly masculine right now. All systems go, if you catch my drift.
I always catch your drift.
All right, well, something's obviously bugging you. What is it?
I just can't believe you signed up for the space program without even talking to me.
Oh, I get it. We, you're worried about me. That is so sweet. You know, there's a saying we have at NASA. What makes the right stuff so right is that it always comes home.
Just stop talking, Howard.
This isn't the reaction I expected when I told you I was going to be an astronaut.
What did you think was going to happen?
Honestly, sex?
Howard.
But do you realize what a big deal this is? What an honor it is to be chosen to go into space?
Yeah, I get it. I just wish you included me in the decision. We're supposed to be partners. We're supposed to be a team.
I'm sorry. You're right. Let's try this again. Bernadette, an opportunity has come up that impacts both of us, and I'd like to discuss it.
Okay.
I've been offered a chance to go up to the International Space Station for 3 weeks. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, thank you for including me in the decision-making process.
Hey, we're a team. So what do you think?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
Hart, my father was a police officer. We never knew from one night to the next if he was going to come home alive. It was horrible, and I don't want to live that way with you.
Hey. My father abandoned me and my mother when I was 11. I never saw him again.
Oh, boo-hoo, you're not going to space!
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, all started with the Big Bang.